good evening, Harvest family. So glad you're here tonight. I'm looking forward to bittersweet. It's so good to have the Jones family with us, but it'll be their last service with us tonight. And I've asked Brother Jones to speak for us tonight. You'll get a chance to hear him and get to see him a little bit tonight, and tell a little more about the ministry there. I'll be praying for them. We're working out some dates for them to come back sometime again, possibly in May. It looks like we got it on the calendar. Hopefully nothing will interfere with that to come back and spend some more time with us in May. So I do appreciate all the work. Can you hear me now? Good. I know I've talked to a few people who don't hear as well normally or have complained about the sound. And it was even nice when the ladies were singing tonight, sitting down, even with the higher mics, you could hear them all the way out in the foyer. It sounded really good. Looking forward to with the new sound system, how that works, of course, tonight. And again, I'm here in our choir on Sunday. I was telling some of our choir members, okay, guys, you don't have to belt it out. It can pick you up. Just sing at a regular tone and pitch and see how it goes, and see how it goes with this nice sound system. So we're really excited about that. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our first hymn tonight, The Light of the World is Jesus, hymn number 449, and it'll be on the screen, or will it be on the screen? I'm not sure, but 449, hymn number 449. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Chair, why don't you go ahead and come and open us in prayer, and we'll sing our first song. Ushers, if you'll come, we'll go ahead and take up an offering tonight. Had a couple people that were mentioned not being able to be a part of the service, and as well some others that came to me, which is always a blessing. Pastor, could you add a little bit to the offering? I promise I'm going to put a check in here in the next week or two. So it's always a blessing to be a blessing to our missionaries. God will bless us, and looking forward to having Brother Jones speak for us tonight, as well as have him come back at another time. But I'm grateful. He's another one of those guys that I don't like, that I love. He's just so talented and so many things that he can do, but I love him, but I just don't like him too much. No, I'm just kidding. We've had a wonderful time of fellowship with Brother Jones and Miss Lisa. Looking forward to having some more time when he's not so much demanded here on the work he was doing, but we do appreciate all the work that he's put into it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, everything that comes in tonight, unless it's designated for your tithe in an envelope, will go toward our missionary.
Father, we're thankful for this beautiful opportunity that you gave us to upgrade our sound system.
Yes.
Father, we're so appreciative of you sending Brother Jones here for us. Father, it's been a wonderful week with his help. Father, we now have a sound system that is par excellence.
Yes.
One of the best in this area, for sure. And Father, we just thank you for his wisdom. He has a little bit of knowledge from our God. Father, he was willing to apply it to our building and our sound system. Father, we're so thankful. Father, tonight as we assemble in your house for a little Bible study and just to be refreshed during this midweek period with music and praises to our great God, Father, we just want to offer a thanks to you again for all that you do for us here at Harvest. Father, just bless his offering to Brother Jones and prepare his agenda and his light, and Father, fly with him. Father, be with him tonight as he departs at midnight. And we look forward to seeing him return next year at some point. Father, what a blessing it's been to have him here, and we thank you for that.
Amen. Father, we pray that you be with Brother Jones tonight. I've just been such a blessing to get to know him and Miss Lisa. I pray that you continue to bless and meet their needs. I look forward to spending more time with him in the future and communication and building a friendship and relationship with him, with their ministry, Lord, and the mission that he works with there, and the mission board there out of his local church. Lord, we just pray your blessings upon them. Pray that you would bless them as they travel out tonight. Give them safety to trip there. Help them to get the rest they need tomorrow as they prepare to get caught up on some things and hit the road running again. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd use him tonight to be a source of blessing and encouragement, as he has already in many ways, but through the word of God tonight. I pray that you bless him, use him to encourage us, to challenge us, Lord, tonight. And I pray that you would have listening ears, and, Lord, that we glean from the scriptures tonight. Father, again, we love you, and we thank you for the blessing and joy of service and fellowship and praying for one another. Now bless our preacher tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Jones, it's been a blessing to get to know him and spend some time with him and Miss Lisa. Please pray for them, as I've already mentioned. Looking forward to getting to know them a little bit better. I talked to my pastor the other day. He goes, oh, Brother Jones, yes, I know his pastor well. We have preached together there in the mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee together through the years many a times. So that's always comforting to know another contact there, as I had a chance to communicate with my pastor this past week as well. Brother, love you. So glad you're here. Thank you for preaching for us.
What an honor. What an honor. It's good to be here tonight. And he says it's bittersweet. And that is for sure. And when you meet folks that love the Lord and you travel like I do, there's times that you leave a part of your heart behind. And I'll have to say this is one of those trips. And I've talked about a lot about y'all to different aspects. And I was telling my pastor today about some different things. And he was encouraged by what he was hearing and all the aspects and others. And I'm sure that some folks have been praying for me since I've been out here. And I just, I thoroughly have enjoyed our time. And let me say thank you to the hospitality. I know I mentioned this Sunday night, but I mean it. The hospitality of this church is like a second mile Christian. And y'all just went far beyond of anything I have seen. And from all the food that we've eaten and the 20 pounds I'm taking back with me, and I'm glad the planes are not weighing me, because I'd had to pay extra luggage. And but I appreciate all the meals, and then just the fellowship as we've labored here at the church has just been joyful, because you just never know. I mean, what you're going to walk into, but y'all have made it very easy to work here, and I have thoroughly enjoyed being with the gentlemen and the ladies, and y'all have really just reached out. Thank you for the hospitality to my wife. It's been outstanding. And then the room, I appreciate Brother Bird. Thank you for the room. And I'm sorry for the hole in the wall. But my wife got mad at me, and them glass pitchers, I think you need to have a little bit lighter weight ones. It just went slap through. But it was good. Other than that, it's perfectly surround. And so it just put a picture over it, both sides, and it'd be just fine. So I appreciate the room. It was great. And then allowing us to get away for the day to go see the Grand Canyon, and that was tremendous. I always wanted to do that. And then yesterday, boy, what a highlight. To get to hold a first edition King James Bible. It's just tremendous to feel the history of what we have. And I've appreciated God's word, but boy, yesterday my mind just rolled, because I've read the abbreviated, evidently I've read the abbreviated Fox's Book of Martyrs, and thank God I got the abbreviated, because it is such a boring read, but it's a good read, you know. And I was thinking of all the Polycarps and all those that laid their lives down, and the Tyndales and all those that come up through history. God perfectly preserved the English-speaking Bible for his people. And to hold that yesterday was just amazing to me. And I will cherish that as long as I got mine. I will cherish that. And I was texting my pastor yesterday, and I was sending him pictures. And he says, how much? I said, not for sale. And then he said, I asked, I said, how much? He said, oh, everything's for sale. And so pastor was talking to me at the antique shop, and he says, I said, Pastor, he said, yes, I said, them Bibles are for sale. He said, seriously? I said, yeah. He said, I want one for our church, because my pastor just studies the history of our King James Bible, and he can sit and talk for hours about it. And he told me today, he says, get with that man, find out, and so I'm getting with you, finding out, and I'm not telling you no price too high. No, I'm not doing that. It might be no period price too high, you know, because you heard about that man when they had the telegraph, you know, and his wife found a ring overseas, and he says, no price too high. Well, the guy who is doing this little thing on there, he forgot the period. He meant to say no, period, price too high. But when she got it, it says no, price too high. So she was like, oh, there's no price too high for this. So she bought it. And so I've got to tell my pastor, no, price too high. But it was a joy. Thank you again for allowing us. And if God allows us to come back, if the Lord don't return, and we're able to come back next year, because he may return before we get back, and even so, come quickly. And the way the world's wrapping up, it's just that time. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. But if not, Pastor, and we do get to come back, I look forward. I really do. I'll count the days. And if it does come to fruition, I pray over all my meetings. So somebody asked me, so how do you know your calendar so well? I pray over it, because I take every meeting seriously, because it's such a eternal event that's taking place. Well, let's take our Bibles, go to Revelation chapter number 2, and I just want to look at a thought, and I'll be, you know, I'll be very brief with it, and so you'll have to pray for me. I'm going to take about an hour message and condense it, so if that's okay with y'all, but I won't take away from what's here. I do want to look at a thought, if God would help us in the hour that we're living in. And not because of the events of today, I won't bring them in of what's going on. And man, my heart just breaks for that family, the Kirk family, and his wife and his two children. There's more to than just an assassination. There is a family that has been discombobulated with a terrorist attack, and that's really what I believe it is, a terrorist attack on our country. But I want to look at a thought and really put this together, if God would help us. Revelation chapter number 2, if you're there in verse number 1, say amen. It says, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear, that thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat or of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And then it goes on to the next church of Smyrna. And I want to look at a thought, and just a simple thought, and really just maybe a challenge tonight of just getting back. Because he's dealing with the church of Ephesus, and he's given them a rebuke, and then he's also trying to direct them of what he would have them to do. And I really want to put that in our modern day terms, if we would just get back at some things that God has for us. And I want to look at that. Can we pray? Dear Father, what a joy it is just to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, just an honor to open up your word. And not only that, but Lord, to sit under all the singing of the songs of Zion tonight. And Lord, we do pray over the prayer request that was mentioned tonight. And Lord, there's many. God, there's nothing impossible for you. God, nothing too hard that you cannot do. And Lord, we just ask for thy perfect will to be done upon each situation. Now, Lord, I'm asking, would you touch us here tonight? May we have ears that would hear, a heart that would understand, but not only that, that we'd receive the word, but that we would respond to it in the right way and be obedient to it immediately. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you'd touch your messenger. That's all I am. I'm just delivering what you have for us tonight. God, I'd pray that you'd use this vessel of clay, this lips of clay, and God, use it, and for your glory and honor. We sure do love you, because you first loved us, and we ask it in a name which is above every name, and that's at the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here we see the church of Ephesus, and there's a lot of preaching here, but he is talking to the church, and if you was to look at it, he's got a great report about this church, because he comes and he's building them up because of this good report. He says, I know thy works. And can I say, God knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know. And we're living in a society of where people are hiding things they think they are, that they're hiding things from God, and they're hiding it behind closed doors and the secrecy that's going on. I want you to know God knows everything. Hebrews 4 tells us that everything's naked and open unto him to whom we have to do. He already knows it. He knows your works. He knows what you're doing. And he knew what was going on at the church of Ephesus. Now watch what he's saying. He's going to give him some approval here. He says he approved of their service because he says, I know thy works and thy labor. Can I say God knows when we're working for him and laboring for him? And the word labor has a unique meaning. It means to toil or diligently labor, even to the point of weariness and exhaustion. And I say that's the way we should serve God, and is to give everything that we have to him, and especially in these last days we're living, and we are living in some last days. I never would have dreamed our country would be where we're at today, but it shows the urgency of the church of today and all over the United States and around the world, how we need to be busy about the Father's business. I've always made this statement that when I leave here, I don't want to have nothing in the tank. I want to give God everything. I don't want to hold back. I want to give him everything. I want to serve him with such a tenacity that when I leave, I just say, God can say, boy, he give it all. Isn't that the way we all should be serving God in this day? Is that we'd want to give him all, not to be half-hearted or to hold back on God? He didn't hold back on us. When he saved us, boy, he saved all of us. He saved everything about us, and I'm glad that he did. But may I say, he didn't hold back his blessings from us. He didn't hold back his love from us. He didn't hold back his grace from us. He hasn't held back his mercy from us. And for the church, for us to hold back on God, I think it's a great sin in our day. But we're living in the days of half-heartedness and just getting in. And today has been somewhat of a very discouraging day for me in a way. I've had two pastors that have stepped away. They just, one tonight back on North Carolina has resigned. One in Montana has resigned. And boy, it's just so discouraging. And there's these churches now are going to be looking for pastors and different things of that nature. And I don't know the stories. I know some of the stories of why they did. But that's neither here nor there. But boy, we should give God everything, should we not? I mean, I get up in the morning sometimes. I don't do it every morning, but there's some mornings I just, by myself, I look in the mirror and I stand at attention. I'm not a military. I tried to get in the military, but they wouldn't take me. Failed the physical. But I get in the mirror and I say, Private Jones reporting for duty, sir. What would you have me to do today? What a joy to serve God. That's the way that we should be. We should give it all, not holding back. And one writer said this. He said, there's three kind of workers in the church. There's the shirkers. These are the ones that do nothing and let others do all the work and giving. Well, y'all are a working church. There's no doubt about that. Y'all have been here laboring. Then there's those, the jerkers, as he said. Those are the ones that start out fine. You give them a jerk or two, and then they just run out of gas. And so sometimes I resemble that one right there. And then he says there's the workers. And that was the church of Ephesus. They were a working church. And I appreciate your all's labor around here. Y'all have been so diligent, and the yard looks good. Well, let me say, your rocks look good here. I did complain, your rocks out here in the back are getting a little tall, so somebody needs to mow them rocks down. That is getting a little bit out of hand. There's too much fertilizer back there, and them rocks are growing in a big pile. But may I say, you know, the grounds are here are beautiful, and it's so hot, the weeds don't grow, so y'all don't have that problem. But it takes labor, cutting trees and checking lights and fixing things. That's all just so commendable, but that's the way we should be. We should be a worker. Can I say he approved of their steadfastness because he says he knows thy patience. And that word patience, and he also says and faint not. That word patience has a meaning of durability, something of triumph, something of fortitude, and what you'll be willing to do, change suffering into glory. Say, we need some folks that will have some fortitude about themselves. My life verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is my life verse. My ministry verse is Genesis 45:24, where he told Joseph, told his brethren, see that you fall not out by the way. In other words, stay the course. I say that's the way we should be. And when trouble, when times get difficult, are they? Oh, they will. Is today a difficult day in our country? Yes, it is. But this is an opportunity for the church to rise and shine, to have some fortitude about ourselves, some triumph, some victory in our lives, and that willing to take suffering and turn it into glory, and to have that courageous to accept hardship, suffering, and sometimes even loss. I say the church of Ephesus was like that. God says, I know thy patience. And not only that, he approved of their suppression of evil in verse number 2. And he says, and thou canst bear them which are evil. And that has a meaning of that of I guess, standing against the things of the evil day. And should we not? I mean, there's a lot of wickedness going on in our day. I mean, abortion, murder is what it is. Transgenderism, sodomites, and the sodomite movement is a big thing in our nation right now. I mean, alcohol is rampant. I mean, churches back in my home state of North Carolina, back where I live, I mean, we're losing the votes of liquor by the drink because the Baptist churches back at home have taken up social drinking and they don't see anything wrong with it. The Bible is against it. You say, who are you? I'm teetotaler. I'm a teetotaler against it. But there's times that we need to stand up against this and to have that ability to stand against evil in our day. And you know, back at home we have Cracker Barrel and everybody's made a big to-do about the logo. I don't really care about the logo, but I made a statement on the radio. I says, the logo's no big deal. It's what they did years ago. I mean, they can change the logo all they want to. I said, but Cracker Barrel left the family when they went to the sodomite movement and the woke agenda. I said, that's when I walked away. I said, I'm not walking away over a logo. I could care if the man's on the barrel with his arm up there. That doesn't bother me, or if he's there or not. It doesn't bother me. It was what they adapted in their lifestyle, and it backfired. But can I say, there's times where we got to stand against that stuff. Amen. Can I say there was that spiritual, he approved of their suppression of evil. He approved of their spiritual discernment because he said this in verse number 2, and I think it's very strong. He says, and thou hast tried them who? And he says, which say they're apostles and are not, and that thou hast found them liars. I appreciate the men's Bible study. That was so tremendous the other day. I really enjoyed that. Just sitting down and catching your all's thoughts and your minds and how, and I even told the pastor, I said that your men, they just didn't give their opinion, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with man's opinion. They backed it up with Scripture. I said, that was tremendous how they did that. I was encouraged. I was just sitting there, I was like a sponge. I was just soaking it in until he asked me and put me on the spot, and then I had to talk. But may I say, up to that point, I was enjoying it, and then he put me on the spot, and then I enjoyed it as well. But can I say, there was that aspect of knowing, and how do you know when somebody comes to you, they may sound good, but in reality, that they're just full of lies. I had a young boy in our Bible college, and he was preaching in Tennessee, and he called me. He said, Brother Jones. I said, yes, sir. He said, I feel so bad. I said, what's wrong? He said, I was listening to a gospel station on the way to where I'm going. I said, really? That's great. He said, yeah, it's amen in this preacher. He said, he is preaching on Jesus, and it sounded so good. And then it come to the lockout, and he says, and then I found out it was the LDS. I said, well, you're wicked and ungodly. I says, you need to get right with God. So, but they had truth, but it was half-truth. And can I say, there's a lot of half-truths out there today. How do you combat that? Stay in your Bible. Get full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, read your Bible, pray, seek God's face, and just fill yourself up with this word. And then when something is preached, you can say, that's wrong. That's wrong. I had a dear pastor friend of mine. He's dead and gone. He died with cancer. His phrase to his church was, bless him, Lord. When somebody had a preacher said something wrong, he was telling his church, I know it's wrong. We'll deal with it later. Don't make a big deal out of it right now. And he'd sit there and say, bless him, Lord. And I asked him one day, I said, you ever bless me? Can I say, we need to know. But then not only that, he approved of their stand against the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Look at verse number 6. He says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds. I mean, he called those they thought were apostles liars. And now God's using another strong word. Thou hatest the Nicolaitans or their deeds, which I also hate. I mean, that's strong, isn't it? I mean, God's a God of love. He is. But boy, there's some things he hates. And he's saying this, I don't like what they're doing. And when he's talking about the Nicolaitans, it's a compound word. It has that word Nico, N-I-K-A-O, which means to conquer. But the laos, it means the people. In other words, there is a group of people that the Nicolaitans was trying to conquer their heart and mind. Boy, doesn't that look like America today? I mean, you go, we've got, you know, and I'm being very careful with this, but you got the sodomite movement in our libraries reading to our children. And somebody asked me, I mean, just last week, last week or 2 weeks ago, said, how do you combat that? I said, oh, it's easy. I said, what do you mean it's easy? I said, well, find out when they're doing it. Go up there and have a prayer meeting. Go up there and start praying. See what happens. Don't be belligerent. Don't be like a rebel. Don't go in there and storm the place and make a big scene. Just go up there, get on your knees, and start praying to the God of heaven and watch the snake slither out of there. Y'all okay with it? I didn't say something wrong. Did I say something wrong? I don't think I did. Thank you. I got blessed finally. Hey, amen. It took 40-something years, but I finally got there. But, you know, it's the aspect of knowing what's going on, and our country is under attack. Spiritually, it's not a D and an R. That's not the war that's going on in our land. What's going on in our land, there is a battle, and Satan and all his imps are lashing out on our land and is after the minds of our children. I say, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm 53 years old. I'm not as old as some, but I promise you, I'm not as young as others, so I have lived a little bit. But I have... I'm so set in my ways. Where I'm at, I'm not moving. I've crossed that age. When you say something, it don't bother me no more. So it's like water off a duck's back. I don't care. I mean, I'm good with it. You know, I mean, I've had people run me down. I've had people run me down in front of my wife and my girls and call me all sorts of things. But I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. But the children... You notice who they're after? Did you read it in the book of Genesis when they come down and Sodom and Gomorrah? Did you ever catch? There's a phrase in there that I've always caught. And the young ones, they manipulated the minds of them children in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot should have been manipulating the minds. Not, I don't mean that in a bad way, but should have been reaching them with the gospel. And the world was trying to infiltrate their heart and mind. Should we not be doing the same thing with the gospel to this generation? I mean, it's just where we're at, and we've got to, and I don't even know why I'm going down this road, but this generation that we have today, I was reading the other day, because I like stats. They say last year, the sale of Bibles went up 22% last year. It was the number one selling book in the United States, and can I tell you who they said who was buying it? First-time buyers. This generation, and you know what they're telling them? In the midst of chaos, they're looking for hope. No wonder Mr. Kirk got assassinated today. Who is he trying to reach? The younger generation. Who's the devil after? The younger generation. God says, boy, they're trying to divide and conquer. And he said, the church of Ephesus, they didn't like it. And he told them, he said in verse number 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans. And God put a stamp of approval, which I also hate. He approved of their stand against the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And again, I'm not saying be a rebel. I'm not saying go out there and be mean about it. Can I say, well, you can do it with a Christ-like love, and you can reach this generation. That's where they're at. Boy, I mean, you look at this church, you could pat them on the back. I mean, everything that, I mean, they were, boy, look at us, we're good. But be careful. I think pride crept in this church. He says, the Lord says, and I hate this word, but it's in your King James Bible. He said, nevertheless. You ever had a nevertheless moment in your life? Boy, you're doing good. Somebody sits down. You ever sat down at a workplace and they have a little, they look at a year and they evaluate how you've done all through the year and they tell you how, all the good things you've done, but they say, well, we got one thing, though, we got to talk about. Nevertheless, that's what the Lord was doing with the church of Ephesus. He said, nevertheless, can I ask you, Harvest, is there a nevertheless here? Is there something that God may be pointing out? Hey, we need to change this. And he comes down to him and he says this in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And he does this phrase, do the first works. But what a phrase there is right in the middle of this. He says, now I need you to do some things. He says, he told about how that thou hast borne in patience. And then he says, nevertheless, and I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And then he says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. He was acknowledging their departure. He said, I need some godly repentance. I tell you what we need in our day, churches to get clean. One man of God says, the church don't need to get clean. The church needs to get cleaner. Every church has room of improvement. Oh, let me. Can I put that? Can I bring that down? I have room for improvement. I've got some things that always needs improvement. I haven't arrived. Paul said, I have not apprehended. He said, I have not arrived, and not an every one of us in here who has. We all got room to work. And that's what he's saying. I need you to do some things. And they maintained a spiritual sacrifice, steadfastness, separation, their keenness of detecting heresy. They were all able to do that, but they left their first love. In other words, when they did that, it means that you have first loved, you have left. And if you've loved, remember when you first fell in love with God? Remember that time you got saved by the grace of God? Boy, everything was fresh and new. I mean, it was just amazing. Sometimes our love gets faint sometimes, doesn't it? And can I say a lot of people, their love for Christ has sort of waned in our day. And you say, how do you know that? Well, Matthew 24:12 tells us that. Because it says that, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Can I say in our day with what's going on, and again, I'm not putting my approval on it. But what are we going to do with these people that are tattooed up, green hair, pink hair, and tattoos everywhere? What are we going to do with them? We're not going to witness to them? We're not going to tell them how God loves them? I was in Utah last year, and I was coming out of the hotel, and there was a guy sitting on the bench. He had tattoos everywhere. I mean, there wasn't even his face was tattooed. And I went up to him. I said, you having a good day? He said, no, I'm not. I said, can I talk to you? He said, sure. He said, so I sat down. His name was David. I prayed for him. And I said, what's going on? He says, I've run out of places to stay. And he says, I just live on the streets. And he says, I'm just at my wit's end. And I got to talking to the boy. You can smell the world on him. He had the world, and I'll leave it there. And I said, where are you staying? He says, I'm just trying to find a place. And I said, I'm going to do something I don't do. I said, you're a complete stranger. I'm going to give you my phone number. I said, can I invite you to church? He said, sure. I'll go. And so I gave him my number, and I didn't think he was going to call me. And he called me, told me where he's at, and I said, I'll be there to pick you up. And so I picked him up. I said, you hungry, David? He said, I'm starving. I said, good. I said, the church is feeding us tonight. I said, and I'm buying. Eat all you want. And that boy ate. He was starved to death. And I took him in this church, and the church I was at, there was a whole row of this, where this pastor has led people. They're all tattooed up. They lived in the world. They were drug addicts. He led every one of them to the Lord, and they all sat on one pew. And I took David in there, and I said, David, these people right here will love you. I said, I went down that row, and I introduced, and I knew all of them. I said, this is David. This is this. And I went down that line, and can I tell you what they did? They just brought old David in there, and they just loved on him. I say, we can look at those people. But Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for them just as much as he died there for us. Our love has grown cold in our day, and it's because of the sin. And not only did he say that, but he says in verse number 5, and he says, and remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That doesn't mean you lost your salvation, but that word fallen just means to just fall off or to depart. And can I ask you in our day, as our prayer life departed? We used to pray. This is one praying church. I loved how you done tonight and how you gave prayer requests and you just didn't skim them. You actually prayed for them.
I mean, you pause tonight. And then to pray over your pastor before he preached on Sunday morning. Man, that done something for me. I mean, I wished every church would do that before the man of God mounted the sacred desk and asking God to use him in a great way and give him liberty behind the sacred desk and boldness to preach the word of God and hearts that would receive and sinners that would get saved by the grace of God. Boy, that Sunday morning and tonight just done something for me. But in reality, I was studying about Jesus' prayer and Paul's prayer today, this morning, about where they prayed three times. The Lord prayed three times. Paul asked three times. And there's something about crying out to God and asking him multiple times. It's not repetition. Jesus gave the same words, the Bible says, three different times. Paul asked thrice. I mean, Elijah laid on that boy three times. There's something about it. But some guys say our prayer life sort of diminishes. Our Bible reading diminishes. And I could go on singing songs of Zion diminishes. And just different things. But so many times we just sort of fall off, but we don't know we're doing it because we just get used to what we're doing. The church of Ephesus, somewhere down the line, it changed, and evidently they didn't realize the condition they were in. Can I say, in the day of 2025, do we know the condition that our church is in? Have we evaluated? Have we ever stood back? I may not get to my point. Have we ever just stood back and said, God, let's just evaluate where I'm at. Where am I at spiritually? How was I fervent here? And you find the church of Laodicean. I can tell you, I'm not going to get no further than this. But the church of Laodicean, he told them, repent and be zealous. And that word repent, you know, get right. But that word zealous means to be on fire. And what's going to happen right after the church of Laodicean? He's going to call the bride home. He's going to, whatever he says, we're going to know it. But he told John, come up hither, and John was gone. But he wanted the churches, the last church he dealt with, he says, be zealous, be on fire. And he says, and if I knock, amen, will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he will sup with me. He's wanting that fire and that fervency of communion. And he don't want the church to go out of here just a smoldering flax. He wants the church to go out of here on fire. I say, Harvest, our time on this world is short. We just don't know me a flickering and a smoldering flax, and he can help that. He can fix that. But can I say, and he's got the fan in his hand, and he can winnow that flame, and he can get that flame back and blow on it and get that fire back. But it's going to take the church getting right with God and saying, Lord, these are some things I've wavered on, and these are worth some things I've backed up on, and I'm not as fervent as I used to be, and boy, I want to get there. No telling what God could do with Harvest Baptist Church. And I know God's doing some great things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here knocking you. But today is just such a thing, and the world's mad, and people are mad, and all the things that are going on, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, where's the church in this? Is the problem of today is because the church is not out there doing what we should be doing? Somebody got a hold of that man or woman, whoever pulled the trigger today. Something got a hold of his heart. What would it have been if we got a hold of his heart with the gospel? And he took that zeal trying to lead people to the Lord and he assassinated a man that ruined a whole family. I just asked the Lord, I was praying today. I said, Lord, have we just fallen off that far that we're reaping what we've sown? Because we just got cold and complacent in our day. We just sort of got in the foxholes and pulled the dirt over our head instead of getting there on the battle and proclaiming the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'd have to say, I looked at myself today and I said, God, I'm sorry. I failed in some areas of my life. God, help me to be that church and to be that individual for you that would be on fire for you. And not get cold and indifferent. Be on fire and asking the Lord, God, let me get back to that first works. And you say, what are those first works? And I'm just going to give them to you and I'm done. What are our first works? The Bible says we need to get back to that first commandment. He told that scribe to love the Lord with all thy heart. This is the first commandment. And then, not only that, but be our first commitment. He told the church of Corinth, and he talked about the church of Macedonia, who gave themselves
first. We need to get back to that first commitment, the first commandment. Then we need to get back to that first consideration, because you come to John, chapter number 1. And John's disciples come up to the Lord, and they says, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Well, come and see." And he followed. He found Andrew and all these, and they went and found somebody first and brought them to Jesus. They went and got somebody and brought them to Jesus. Can I tell you what our first consideration is? Reaching people with the gospel and bringing them to Jesus. That's the first works. We need to get back to those in our day. God help us. Can we pray? Dear Father, again, we love you. We thank you again for the scriptures. Lord, I thank you for the time in the Word of God. Boy, what a blessing it is. God, we didn't come to rebuke Harvest, by no means. But God, just to encourage them in these last days we're living. God, we do know that the fight's going to get fierce. But we serve a God that's greater. So God, I'm asking, would you take just these people, turn Goodyear and Avondale upside down for the glory and the honor of God in this hour. May this be a church that makes a difference, and a lighthouse and a hospital, place of refreshment, an oasis in the desert. God, may it be a place that people see the love of God. Help us, I pray, in this hour, and we'll praise you for all that you do. Thank you again for all that you do, and we're going to ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Jones. Go ahead and put those on that table, Brother. Put them on the table by the computer. Make sure you grab a prayer card on your way out so you can pray for Brother Jones. I think I'm so glad they're here. Make sure you get by and see them. And Miss Lisa, they'll be taking off tonight, so good to have them. And I'll just say this, and we'll have a word of prayer. Have we lost our first love? Michelle and I were talking this week, and it came to me while we were sitting there. A lot of us have what we call a bucket list. Maybe some things we want to accomplish, things we want to do, places we want to go. Do you have a bucket list in your service for the Lord, some things you want to do for Him that you haven't been able to do yet? Have you made a goal of reaching so many people for the Lord? Have you made a goal of doing certain things in the reference to your service to the Lord, or stepping out and doing something you've never done before, just haven't done it yet? He's coming. And I don't know about you, I want my bucket to be empty when I get to heaven. I don't want anything left in there that I wanted to do that I didn't get to for my Lord. All the other stuff will take care of itself. I'll see the big timber in California one day. I'll see the mountains in Colorado. I'll see whatever that may be. But what about the things that God would have me to do, or I want to do for the Lord? Let's make sure we get those done. Let's go ahead and stand together. And as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Make sure you get by and talk to Miss Lisa and Brother Jones freely. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Dismiss us with your love tonight. Bless our fellowship. Again, be with Brother Jones and Miss Lisa as they travel tonight. Give them safety, Lord, and protect them. And be with them as he continues to travel later this week to Montana and on Israel later. That you give them safety and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Dismissed.